Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. It's Musings by Martiki coming to you again with another podcast session. God wants us to look at our posture when we are waiting, you know, waiting. How do we wait on the Lord? And he has, well, handpicked a scripture, which it's quite long, so please bear with me. So this is from the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. So I'll start from maybe verse 24 and then carry on through verse 7. But I'll break it down as I go so that, you know, some of these words will sink in. So this is all about our posture while we're waiting. It's all about, you know, what kind of posture we should have while we're waiting for the Lord to come through. Maybe you've prayed to God, you're asking him to do something for you. But then there's a way that we have to sit and wait, or there's an attitude that we have to carry. And I'll give you this example. For example, let's use a pregnant woman as an example. When you're pregnant, you have this high expectancy, you have some high hopes, expectation, you know, your spirit is filled with joy because you know that at the end of, you know, the duration of pregnancy, something is going to happen, you know. So that's the same posture God wants us to have, like act like you're pregnant, expecting something at the end, because you don't want to be pregnant and then you're thinking that, oh, you're going to give birth to something, or, you know, you have high hopes that it's going to be a baby, either a baby boy or a baby girl, or twins or triplets or quadruplets or how many plets, you know. The whole point is there's hope at the end. When you're in a dark tunnel and you see the light, that's a kind of feeling that we should have while we're waiting. So it shouldn't just be about passive waiting, like, okay, twiddling your thumb, thinking, okay, God, when I called you, when, you know. I know some people, like in my immediate family, I don't want to mention any names, but sometimes, you know, you can be waiting and then you'd be like, oh, but God, you did it for this person, how about me, you know? Or you did it for that person, how about me? I don't think that is usually the right approach. We should wait like we are carrying our own pregnancy. So you can't see like your friend pregnant and then you'd be like, oh, this one has given birth. Well, because their time is due, probably 9 months. Yours is probably now 6 months. So I'm using this analogy so that we see what we need to do when we're waiting. You don't compare your waiting to someone else's waiting. You may have just started your 1 month journey, but somebody may have reached their, you know, their full term in pregnancy. That is what, you know, it is like for them. So you don't look at someone's and then be like, oh, how I wish mine would have come quick like this. That's not how God works. God gives us our own pathways to follow. So the waiting has to come with the attitude that you're going to receive something bountiful at the end, and that is what God wants us to understand. So we're going to look at some characters in the Bible and how they pushed at themselves in their waiting, and then learn from it so that we will also kind of also adjust, you know, while we're waiting, because the Lord is there. He's not giving up. He's saying, just stay in your lane and wait and see what I'll do for you. So this is about a king. His name was Ben-Hadad. Okay. So starting from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, it reads, sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cup of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord the king. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press. Then he asked her, what's the matter? She answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day, I said to her, give up your son so we may eat him. But she had hidden him. So I'm just going to pause here, then I'll carry on with the scripture. So here is a woman who, you know, there's famine going on, and for some reason, They decided that, two of them had a pact that today we are going to eat my son, tomorrow we'll eat your son. So this is what sometimes happens when we don't wait. When we think that, okay, I'm tired of waiting for God, so let me do my own thing. You understand? So these people decided to cook their children. And the one in, I don't know whether to call, I don't know how to describe her. I won't judge her. Let me leave her alone because she suffered already. But well, she decided to hand over her son first, and then her son was boiled and whatever. They added salad and they ate this boy. And now they were thinking that, okay, next day let's have the other boy. And then the other woman hid her child, which was very, very smart, in my opinion. Anyway, so now she's come to cry to the king, and the king is like, okay, so what do you want me to do? You understand? The king himself, we'll see how he too his waiting is like. So let's carry on. So when the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked and saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. So let me just pause on this topic about, he tore his clothes, but then under his clothes he had sackcloth. And then my question is, why will the king hide his sackcloth under his robes? Because typically, a sackcloth is worn next to your skin as an indication of sorrow or repentance. But why will this king, why would he hide his sackcloth? Because maybe his waiting or his repentance or whatever wasn't being done in humility. You understand? Perhaps the king was too proud to repent openly, or maybe he may have wanted to, preserve some level of royal dignity in doing something that was supposed to represent a symbol of repentance to God. So sometimes, when we are doing things, we have to go all out and do it as if we are doing for God. And so this I was picking on this because he was probably trying to hold on to something, hold on to an element of the past, hold on to something that may not be, God's way, but he was holding on to his royal regalia so that, he would just stay current maybe. But let's not stay too focused on that, and let's move on. We are learning our attitude of waiting, that we have to be humble. We have to wear our sackcloth. Maybe we don't have to wear sackcloth like they did, but we have to wait with humility. We have to wait in a way that dignifies God and not ourselves. So let's carry on from where we got to. So he tore his sackcloth. And yeah, let's carry on. So yeah, he said, "May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulder today." Okay, so now this man, in his waiting, he's trying to blame somebody for what is happening, the famine, you understand? But let's carry on so that we understand fully why he is blaming Elisha, and then what happens after that. So now Elisha was sitting in his house, right? And the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head?" So this is Elisha prophesying because he can see that the king has sent for him to be killed. "Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of this master's footsteps behind?" While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. The king said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Okay, so now he has clearly used the word wait. So he's saying, I'm tired. This is some of us. So I'm using this scripture so that we see where we stand in it. He's like, I'm tired. Why should I wait any longer? Just like the other woman who killed her child to eat her child. That was the attitude. Why should I wait any longer? And then in this case, because his prayer has not been answered, he feels like Elisha should be punished. Elisha should be killed because he, the king, his prayer has not been answered. But like I said, you should wait with, expectation. You shouldn't wait in a passive way, that as soon as something does not look so right, then you turn to against God, basically. So this is what Ben-Hadad was doing. So he said, He said, why should he wait for the Lord any longer? Then let's jump on to chapter 7. So Elijah replied and he said, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer, sorry if I'm not pronouncing it well, a seer of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen? Okay, so let's pause here again. First of all, the king is resting on somebody, So clearly, physically, his posture is not that great. He is dependent. He's dependent on somebody. He's dependent on somebody to hold him upright. Perhaps it was probably because he was physically weak and needed someone to prop him up. More likely, this could be an expression that implies that the officer was his right-hand man. You know what I mean? So he needed that adjustment. And now the officer was also saying that, even if the Lord should open floodgates of heaven, could this happen? So when we are waiting, are we waiting in doubt? Are we questioning the ability of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he's capable of doing? That's what this messenger is doing in the moment of waiting. He's like, oh, will this really happen? Even if God opens the floodgates, do you think that, flour will sell for this cheap in this famine? So you don't you are I don't know, you are just seeing things within the scope of what is happening around you right now. They're not seeing God as a dynamic God who could change the situation by the next day, So by this time tomorrow. So that's what this whole thing is about. By this time tomorrow, can this even happen? You will see with your own eyes, answered Elisha, but you will not eat any of it. Wow, God has spoken here. So Elisha was telling them that you will see with your eyes, but you not eat any of it. So this is, so yeah. So let's move on to what happens after when the siege was lifted. Okay. Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. Okay, so this is a good example of how to wait. You can wait, but with a, it's not we will that we will die part, but waiting with planning to make an action that will lead towards what could happen on the other side. Because sometimes we are being propelled to move a little just to see what God has at the other side for us. So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Wow. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptian kings to attack us. So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents, wow, and horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. Wow. So pausing here. So whereas these people, these lepers, right? Because they had leprosy, they couldn't feel their, sometimes they lose sensation. They couldn't feel their legs. They couldn't feel the sound that their legs was, the impact it had on the people that were in that camp, right? So as they were coming, these people could hear, like, these soldiers could hear, like, an army. You understand? So even in our deprived situation, see what God can do. In our deprived situations, wow, we could sound as mighty as these lepers. They were weak, and yet the footsteps, just their mere footsteps, scared people who have been in war fronts for the most part of their lives. So as they were coming, these people were scared, and then they ran helter skelter. There was nobody left on the camp. Okay, so these lepers walked, and then these people fled. And this is how God works. He can even use that disadvantage that we carry to shake up the enemy's camp. And that is exactly, this is vividly what happened in this instance. So they run for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank. See how God works. They didn't have food. They were hungry. They were thinking, oh, if we sit here, we'll die. If we go here, we'll die. But let's make a move. They get there. Some people got scared, ran away, left all their food, and voila, these people now have food and they are eating. That is how our God can work, okay? In the wait and in the move and everything. Act like you have expectation. They wanted food, so they made the move, and here was food in front of them. God did it. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves." Wow. You understand? So when they were experiencing this good thing, they paused and they said, "Oh no, we shouldn't be doing this all by ourselves. We have to announce it. We have to let people share the testimony. We have to let, people know." You understand that this is what has happened. So they said, instead of keeping it to ourselves, if we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys and tents left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. This is good news. See how God works. So, anyway, I just want to jump a little bit and then go to when the king, let me jump to verse 17. Okay. Now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died. Wow. Remember what Elisha said. So now there's food, but guess who dies? The person who couldn't wait. That's how some of us are like, when you will be like, "Oh no, I'll do this by myself. I'll do this. I can't wait for God anymore. I mean, he said I was going to have this by this time. Right now, look, we started the year. We are almost in March. It hasn't even come. Blah, 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 blah." Then da 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 da. Then you go and do it, you rush and then you fall. Or you rush and then everything falls flat. You rush and then you fail. So sometimes the waiting is not about us. It's just about what God is trying to teach us through the process, just like he did with the lepers. You understand? God, even when they were eating, they were still learning from the Lord that, okay, why don't we stop? Why don't we go and announce it so that even our king can get some to eat, so that the gatekeepers will get some to eat, so the good news is blown to everyone. Yet who doesn't get some to eat? The king, the one who doubted the Lord. You understand? So he was on the floor. Everybody trampled on him. He died just like that. He died just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down into his house. It happened as the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, a seah of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." The officer had said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen?" The man of God replied, "You will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it." And that is exactly what happened. For the people trampled him in the gateway and he died. Hallelujah. So, our posture of waiting, right? Our posture of waiting. How do we wait upon the Lord? We wait sometimes in humility, as we learned. We wait sometimes. Sometimes we have to fast. We wait by not comparing ourselves to other people. Everybody's journey is different, okay? Like I use the analogy of a pregnant woman. One may be pregnant for 7 months. I don't look at them and say, "Why am I not giving birth to today?" When mine is only like 1 month gestation, you understand? So each person follows their own line. How do we wait? When we look at the scripture in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect," I'm reading from Amplified Version, so it has all these other versions, okay? "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him." So we are waiting with anticipation, we are waiting with expectation, we are waiting with hope. You understand? Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God. Okay, so you put on your wings and then rise up close to God. That's how your posture of waiting should be like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. And that is what we saw with the lepers, even with their disability, even with their limitation, they were able to shake up. They were able to shake up the camp of the enemy, and they fled. And now they, because of these lepers, there was food in abundance. Yet those who couldn't wait upon the Lord were the one who didn't gain from this blessing. Okay. They didn't gain anything from the blessing. So our Lord wants us to adjust the way we wait. He wants us to wait cheerfully. He wants us to wait with patience. He wants us to be encouraged, when we look, when we, for example, if you look at the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 3 because it captures it nicely. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, who by faith, that's also another important element, okay? Who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness. One thing remains that God is always faithful. His faithfulness endures forever. Like, that's guaranteed. It is an assurance. So let me read it again, and let me, just read it without talking, and then it will sink in. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Have you heard that again? The race set before only us. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who, for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners, from bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So this is our Father's message to us, okay? He is the one who is making us sharper in our faith. He's the one who is sustaining our strength so that we will not go tired. He wants us to put on our wings and rise up like the eagles, focusing our eyes only on him. And he's the one who will help us through the trials, you understand, not to grow weary and not to lose heart. So let our posture for waiting be like that of a pregnant woman, knowing that at the end of it, you're going to carry your baby. Nobody, let me just put a quote unquote, nobody gets pregnant with a view that there'll be emptiness at the end. That is usually bad news, or when that happens. But nobody carries a pregnancy without that hope of having that baby to carry at the end. So this is how God wants us to carry whatever we are asking him for. Carry it like you're carrying something in you, inside of you, that at the end it will be given birth to. But don't lose hope is what he's trying to say, because it is our journey to carry. It is our journey to carry our own, thing or whatever he's birthing out of us. It is our own journey, not to look onto others, but to look and run our own race according to how God wants us to do it. So we just want to thank the Father for his message to us today, that in our posture of waiting, we will wait like he is the one who will come through at the end to do whatever we're asking him for, especially if it is according to his will. That is one important element that we have to remember. So, our dear Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for your word that has come through. We thank you that through the lepers, we have learned that, even our disadvantages sometimes carry weight. Even our disadvantages, the enemy is still afraid of us. They are shaking in their camps. So we shouldn't be weary. We shouldn't give up. We shouldn't think that, okay, our situation is a limitation, but rather our situation is our weapon. That you, my God, you're doing great and mighty things behind the scenes that we may not see. We may think that, okay, we've come close to our birthing stage, when indeed we are not even there yet. Father Lord, give us the patience. Give us that patience to wait upon you, Lord. Give us the patience, oh Lord, like you described in Isaiah 40, 31. Give us that patience, Lord. Let us not run weary. Let us not faint, Lord. Father, give us the patience, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that you give us the encouragement that we need, Lord. Give us the patience, Father. Give us the peace, Lord, as we wait. Give us that assurance, Father, as we wait. Your word speaks volume, Lord, and we are adhering to what your word says, that we should just wait on you, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord, that at the end of it all, Lord, as long as we are waiting in faith, as long as we are waiting with the right posture, not like Ben-Hadad, not like his attendants, oh Lord, but Lord, we're waiting, Lord, like the lepers, that as even as we are waiting, we are moving forward. As we are waiting, we have expectation. As we are waiting, we have hope. Lord, strengthen us, Father. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit. Give us all that we need, Lord, to persevere, Father. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you for who you are. We bless you for what you are using us for, Lord. We bless you for each and every experience that we are going through. We bless you for the trials that we face, Lord. That the trials are not, they're not permanent, Lord. They are things that were marked out for us, Lord, as your word says in Acts, Lord. These are things that were marked out. You knew our history. You have already formed things that will happen in the timeline of our lives, Lord. So, Lord, let us just adhere to the path that you've carved for us. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Dear sisters, shall we share the grace? And now, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely,
Surely the Lord's goodness and mercy shall
follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall continue to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have a blessed day, sisters, and see you all at 3 p.m.
Amen.
Bye for now.
Bye.
God bless you, sis.
Oh,
God
God
bless
bless you.
You
God
now.
Bless you. God bless you.
Which one? A fatty.
Recording.
Goodbye for now, and I will catch you on the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.